It's Ashel F, aka Ash Frith, and over there is Justin P Dog Panks, aka Justin Panels, aka Justin Penguins, aka the P Dog, aka
Jasmine Ponks.
Jasmine Ponks, aka Jesse Pedo.
Jesse Pedo.
AKA Little Tommy Tuck. AKA Nubbin McNubbinson. It's Justin Panks.
Cedric, Charlotte, and Charlie Chuggington.
Charlie Chuggington!
Oh, hey!
Well, just to name a few of your characters.
All ill thought out and partially formed. I don't commit to anything. That's what I
would
do.
Would have them any other way. Not have them any other way.
I get halfway through, realising a character, and then go, fucking bored, I'll make another one up. But then I still keep doing them.
I've seen, tell me about Cyril, whatever his name is, Cedric. I've seen, what's her name? Charlotte's been getting a bit of an outing on Twitter.
Oh, that's right. I sometimes forget. Because I don't have any notifications on my phone at all, which is why I missed your messages today. Because during lockdown, I've just turned them all off.
Oh, I turn them off. I hate notifications.
It's so intrusive. I really hate them.
But it also is important. Like, I don't have WhatsApp messages, so often I'll get back to a WhatsApp conversation that has got 70 messages deep in.
I fucking hate WhatsApp.
Yeah, well, so do I. Yeah, that's why. But then so many people are using it. It makes it very
frustrating. People use it for work now, like in the office. Yeah. And like, I know someone that will get like a WhatsApp work message at like 11:30 at night. Now, if you was to send an email, that's fine to a work email account because you wake up and check your emails. But WhatsApp, it comes to your phone.
Yeah.
And you get up in the night because most people nowadays use your phone for everything. So you might not have a bedside clock.
So torch on.
Sometimes I wake up in the night and you might look at your phone to see what the time is. You see you got a notification, you go, oh, just check that. And then all of a sudden, it's something that stimulates you. Like, normally, I don't mean a picture of a boobie. I mean, normally it'll be someone moaning that I haven't done something and reminding me I haven't done something. And then I start anxiety. My anxiety goes up and I can't get back to sleep.
Yeah, once you start thinking, you're screwed, aren't you?
Once I start screwing, I think about you.
That's always been your problem.
I'm starting to find it hard to climax unless I picture you. Is that weird? Maybe you shouldn't have said that out loud. That's normal, right?
That's normal.
That's normal for podcast hosts.
Totally normal.
I always picture you with your head. It's like disembodied. It's just sticking through a plank. Like a hole in a plank? And your head
like
is
a knot hole.
Yeah, and your head is sticking through that, but you're wearing a ruff like a 17th century nobleman. And you look so happy. Until I dump a load on your face. And then you start going, stop it! Stop it! I did not consent to this! That's my little fantasy.
I'd have said that before that got dumped on me, and I don't think I'd just be saying, I would say stop it, but I don't.
But the
angry.
Thing is, there are children present, so you have to watch your language in my fantasy. You can't swear. I think it adds
to
it.
Why are the children present?
They just happen to pass in. It's like in a marketplace. It's like some sort of public shaming thing, like the stocks or something.
Well, people just walk up and wazz off into people's faces.
Yeah, why not? It's only body fluid. It's only tiny little micro beasts carrying my DNA code. That's all.
People used to believe it was homunculus, didn't they?
I don't know what that means. What's that?
It means, like, they believed that the man was all that produced the human life. So it would be you would ejaculate tiny little homunculus, which would then grow inside the
woman. I don't know what homunculus... I've never heard that word before.
Oh, like a person.
Oh, really?
Like the seed of a person, yeah.
Seed drink. That's where his name comes from. But, right, so the egg...
There must be a band called Homunculus, right?
I've heard the word. I've heard it, but I had no idea of the context of it. Must be human. Human nucleus. Humunculus. But, you think an egg's not really an egg. The woman's got the white, and the spunks is the yolk, really. So she's got half an egg, and a tadpole is the other half.
Isn't the yolk the food for the...
Well, I would say that when I crack an egg, I go that the albumen is the kind of the fluid which provides all the nutrients and...
But I don't think
you're
case.
Right. It's a joint effort. Now, I know physically the women have to... You are, sorry?
I think the yolk is the nutrients, isn't it?
I know. The yolk has got all the... I'd say the spunks is akin to the yolk and the egg is akin to the white.
But I think you've fundamentally misunderstood an egg, how an egg works.
I'm talking about the female, I'm talking about a human egg.
Yolk is the chick.
Yeah, yes, yeah, exactly. No, yeah. So that's the man, that's the bit that goes in. if you think if a chicken's eggs work like ours, if a cockerel, like, fucking spaffed up an egg yolk into a chicken... It would squirt up there and then go through the shell, which is soft, and then it would get in the egg white, then the hard shell would form, and then that's how I think it works.
Okay.
So the womb is the shell. The womb is the shell. So the egg's quite misleading. It's not an egg at all, is it?
Is the amniotic sac not the shell?
But that's in the womb, isn't it? The womb is the actual egg shell. And all the fluid and stuff's in there is the white.
Albumin.
And then you need an egg yolk in there, and then you've got all the ingredients. So it is a joint effort. I know it's more...
I mean, it is a joint effort. You've come to the correct conclusion.
I mean, the conception is, but the...
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you have to hold them down. It's quite lopsided. But the actual conception is 50-50. You can't have one without the other. You can freeze it.
I think it's 60-40 in not in my favour.
No, well, our homunculus have to do all the travelling. The egg just stay there. I mean, the very much the Mohammed must go to the mountain on that one.
I'm going to be honest with you, though. I think if it was a battle, the opposition army walked up to my cannon and put their face in front of it and let the cannon go off in their face, rather than the cannon being wheeled up to them and fired. You know what I mean?
So if we genetically engineered a woman with a very long, God, I'm so ignorant, uterus, how far would a sperm be able to swim? So it thinks it's swimming towards an egg, but the egg's not where it should be. It's miles away, like 10 metres. Would it be able to make...
Oh, lovely.
Would it be able to reach an egg that was 10 metres away if it was in the correct conditions?
Yeah.
What do you mean yes?
Yeah, 100% yes.
Okay. I reckon when I was 18, I would have been out of... squirt it 10 metres nearly. Now,
oh,
fuck
God,
me.
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, it spends half its life swimming down my penis. It's a good job it's not very long. They'd all be spent by the time they reach the tip. Just fall out of the end.
Just literally just oozing out like a spot that's squeezing itself.
There'd be like a man crawling through the desert. Water! Water! Just slowly crawling along in ripped clothes with a beard and sunburn on his back. That's what they're like.
It's strange, though, isn't it?
Well, I just think your body knows it. I think your prostate becomes like a salesman that just doesn't believe in the product anymore. Like, I mean, you could have some of this, I guess, but you're going to have one of those babies if you have it. So it just doesn't, it's not pushing it, do you know what I mean?
No. No.
But when you're 18, it's like, have some of this. This is the good stuff.
Yeah, I wonder about the old prostate, because it is a thing, isn't it? Lots of people have issues, and they have to have it, like, bored out when they get to about 60. Like, they have to have a tube. Like, now they go up your... Well, between, is it your perineum, that gap?
Yeah, your taint. Up your gooch, so, mate, right through there.
I've seen it done. I've seen it on YouTube. You can watch... prostate operation happening through the gooch.
Oh.
So what they do, if they're doing a biopsy, they put like a block on your gooch with that. It's got about 100 holes in it. So it's like a
teabag.
That's like a teabag, right? But it's made of plastic. And then, so each of those is numbered like A1, B1, C, you know, like battleships.
Yeah.
And then they insert...
And then doctors take it in turn to call out a number until they get the prostate and he wins.
Exactly. Then they insert a needle, which is about 4 or 5 inches
long.
Oh,
man, what are you talking about?
Up there, and then they insert into the prostate, and they take a sample. Different length needles at different positions on the grid. And that is how they do a biopsy. So when it comes back, they can say, like, this one was from A3.
And they can know when so it's like a depth gauge. When they hit it, they know how enlarged it is, I guess.
And
how close
whether
it is.
It's got, yes, that's exactly right. And whether it's cancerous and where it's cancerous.
It seems like the prostate, okay, is overworked. I mean, it does everything, doesn't it?
It shuts off. It allows urine to flow, and
jizz bombs.
Jizz bombs.
And something to do with your incidents as well. Your feces.
Oh, is it? I don't know.
I don't know. But when they
bore it out, so if you it gets swollen, they have to open it up. So they go up your knob end.
No, they do not go up your knob end. Don't say it. This is really. I'm fine. I've got my eyes closed, and I'm. This is really.
They go up your knob end. Yeah. Do they? With the tube. Mm-hmm. And then up that tube, they pass basically what looks like a little crocodile.
Oh, little crocodile. Mm-hmm.
And it goes up, and it goes yum 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 yum. On all of the.
Sounds like Mr. Punch.
Very much like Mr. Punch.
So they put a string of sausages up your knob hole, and the crocodile nicks them.
So my mate, me and my mate both got jobs as operating theatre assistants, right? We got them on the same day. We went for the job interviews together, and we both got them on the same day.
What?
We started on the... What?
This isn't true.
It is true.
Why have you never taken... I didn't know this.
Well, bear with me, and I'll tell you. So we both finished college, sports science, and we both wanted to be physiotherapists, and someone suggested getting into a hospital is key. Like, just get into the hospital... And you can change departments.
You're
once
a bloody hero nowadays, mate.
So we both got the job. We both went there for an interview. We both got the job. And on the Monday, he starts. I'm not starting until maybe the following Monday, right? On the Monday evening, he phones me up and goes, it's the worst thing that's ever happened. His first day on the job, it was his job to ditch the buckets of blood and prostate that had been cut out of and sucked out of a bloke. And he said it looked like spicy beef that you put on pizzas. We both worked at Perfect Pizza before that. And he said basically his job was to deal with the human waste and get rid of it. As you can imagine, an operating theatre assistant, that's what it would be.
Of course it would.
And he said, I don't think I can do it anymore. And he quit on the Wednesday, and then I never started. I just said no.
But like, you'd be getting a round of applause Thursday night at 8 now if you'd have stayed. You'd be getting like...
It's just buckets of blood. He said it's just buckets of blood.
Yeah,
he's
I know,
just
Ash,
basically...
but you get to go in the supermarket on your own and have special deals.
But what about the buckets of blood from the penis chopping?
Yeah, we get used to that. Hey, did I tell you... I don't know if I told you I was looking for a place to live for post-lockdown. And I saw a property that was really nice and like ridiculously cheap rent?
Okay.
And I was like, that's a mistake. It's a 3-bedroom house in Norwich, nice, and it was like 400 quid a month or something like that.
Yeah.
So I looked in the advert, and what did it say?
Murder took place in this house.
It said this is a 40% reduced rate for 6 months for NHS workers.
Oh, that's good.
Is it?
Yeah, you work for the NHS.
No, I don't work for the NHS. And I don't think that because you work for the NHS and your job's going and other people's industries are gone, that you should be getting fucking breaks like that.
Do you not?
No, I don't, Ash.
You're not a hero.
But you go to a room full of stags and hens in Bristol on a Saturday night and tell me I'm not a hero.
Oh, yeah, you were always in Bristol because that's where your favourite statue was.
They used to be. They tore that down. I know. I mean, I've never heard of the geezer before. Have you?
Yeah, I have. But I'd heard of him only because of the thing where a couple of years ago they put a ball and chain on him.
Oh, right.
Did you see that?
No, I don't watch the news. I find it quite depressing at the moment.
Yeah, it's a bit depressing. That's yeah, you could say that.
But this is what I this is like I obviously and I made my thoughts about the incident that sparked all this very very clear about two or three episodes ago. But did you know that Black Lives Matter isn't just a slogan and a rallying cry? It's an organisation.
On the merch store.
No, it's an organisation. But the thing is, it's an organisation, Ash, called Black Lives Matter. So, and I do agree with the cause, and I said that very clearly. Okay, I'd said. I think
no one's doubting that. No one's
I think my
that.
Knee-jerk reaction might have been too strong, where I said, smash everything up, burn it to the
don't
ground.
Don't say knee-jerk. No, don't say knee-jerk.
Fucking hell. But my instant reaction was, I was so incensed. Not enough to do anything, clearly. But
No, you're incensed, but you didn't leave.
Well, I'm adhering to the lockdown. This is the other thing. Yeah. But anyway, so I thought, I said, go out, smash things up, burn it to the ground. And now then they are, and I'm like, I can get it. But if you don't agree, if you could agree with, like, obviously, anyone that didn't think what happened was bad is not worth listening to.
Fair.
So that is like, I don't even think that's an opinion. I think that is only a contrarian, only a psycho racist, proper fascist would say, yeah, fuck it, I think they did the right thing. I'm glad they killed it. No one, I don't think, could say that who is of sound mind and worth being allowed a table at the debate.
I mean, I've heard it said.
Yeah, but by who? By who?
He was an arsehole. People are saying that. Oh, he was an arsehole. So what? It still doesn't matter. It's not how it works.
No, it's not how it should work. Maybe it is how it works, but it's not how it should work, clearly. But if you disagree with some of the practices that have happened since, now, I'm not saying I do. I'm a bit of an anarchist myself. I'm a little bit of a... I like a little bit of mixing up. And
you were in the Norfolk Anarchist Party, weren't you, as a teenager?
Yeah, yeah. I remember when I was there very vehemently protesting against the pedestrianisation of Norwich City Centre.
From Alan Partridge.
Yep, that's the one. That's the only issue I could think of, and it was fictional. But I... it's all right up here, mate.
Mr. Aid with wheelchair access to Dixon's.
Yeah, I remember when they... I literally can't think of anything up here. When they'd done the NDR... It's the Northern Distributor Road. It's the Northern Ring Road around Norwich.
Yeah.
I disagreed with that. Because it went through a newt sanctuary.
Did it actually?
No, of course it didn't. Fucking know.
You know, my brother worked on... Do you remember when there was that bypass and Swampy was involved?
Yeah. That was when I first became aware of the phrase tree hugger.
Yeah. So there was people. My brother worked on the security team removing those people, and he turned up for the first day, and just went, "Oh no, they're right, aren't they? Like, they're all correct."
So getting back, that's a good little segue into what I was originally saying. So Black Lives Matter is an organisation. Now I agree with, of course, Black Lives. But the phrase, the concept of that sentence, of course, Black Lives Matter. But that means, because they've called an organisation Black Lives Matter, it's almost impossible to criticise it. Because it's like, you either think Black Lives Matter or you don't. But that's not actually the case, is it? So what I'm saying is, if you rebranded the KKK, if you rebranded the KKK and called the Ku Klux Klan Don't Drown Kittens, it's difficult to say, oh, I don't agree with Don't Drown Kittens.
Yes, that's true. That's true. It's a clever piece of... marketing.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Part.
So of course you can believe that Black Lives Matter.
Save the Children was a great name for a charity.
Yeah, exactly, because it does exactly what it says on their tin. Charlotte would say that instead of self. See, that always annoyed me. We had a perfectly good phrase in English language called self-explanatory. And you could say, what about this? You go, oh, self-explanatory. But then there was an advert called Ron Seal Quick Dry Wood Stain. And that bloke used to go, does exactly what he says on the tin. And then that became in the vernacular that people...
So we've got listeners from all over the world. We've got new enhanced stats on our pod, what's it called, host. So I can see how many people, like, it's really narrowed it down now.
Right.
And I know that people use VPNs and all of that, so it might not be where they truly are.
That's why you have to use a G-string when you're wearing tight trousers.
But I know that I know that we have listeners in the US. I know we have listeners in Germany and some in Scandinavia. And so, do you think they have the expression "it does exactly what it says on the tin"?
No, because I think, like,
is that so British? It's
here's the thing. Okay, good example that you mentioned Germany. Now, Germany's a very, we've spoke about this before, it's a very perfunctory and almost autistic type language that is very matter-of-fact, and what do you call it? Like, so I think we asked Janis before, and the German word for nipple is literally translates as breastwort.
Yeah, but I think that we had a feature where you guessed that.
Yeah, I knew there was something like that.
Like you'd say, you said the German for mirror is like... What was it you said it was?
It was like reflective window, and it was quite close, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And wind. Like a fart was something
Arse
like...
wind.
Gut wind or something. Gut air.
And he was like, yeah, that's actually quite close. So, okay, yeah. So in Germany, they've got words... Like, they've got a word for schadenfreude, and we haven't.
Now, what word... What do they use for that?
That is their word. Exactly. But they use that... But they'd have to explain to us, like, if someone says we were a schadenfreude...
Oh, did you hear what happened to the guy who invented that?
Yeah, I know he fell. He was on the right cropper, didn't he? Didn't he? That's like Atkins died whilst jogging or whatever it was.
He fell down the stairs, didn't he?
I don't know. But they've got words. They're filled in the gap in their language. So they've gone, oh, taking pleasure in other people's misfortune is quite common. Let's make up a word for that. But we already had a word. We already had a word, self-explanatory. It was self-explanatory. The word itself, or it's hyphenated, I guess it's a word. The word itself is self-explanatory, isn't it?
But what a piece of marketing. Like that guy, I'd love to meet, I wouldn't. What,
didn't he look a slightly chunkier Steve Davis?
Well, no, because he was the person on the advert. He wouldn't have written it, would he?
No, I thought you meant the guy in the advert. I remember the guy in the advert. He was kind of like trying to be a bit hard cockney, but not really.
Yeah, well, he was a decking expert,
no
wasn't
lips.
He?
No, you know that sort of like London no lips, like does exactly what it says on the tin.
This is Runseal Quick Dry and Wood Stain. You can't miss it. It comes in a tin with Runseal Quick Dry and Wood Stain on it. It protects and it's rainproof in about 30 minutes, which means in about 30 minutes, your wood's rainproof and protected. So if you've got wood to stain and you want it to dry quickly, use Runseal Quick Dry and Wood Stain. It does exactly what it says on the tin.
I'll tell you what I was thinking about the other day, an old advert. Don't remember the fairy liquid one.
Mild green fairy liquid. I was saying this to my girlfriend. She had no idea what I was talking about. Because we got mild green fairy liquid for the first time. Normally we'd have like cherry blossom flavour or something.
But there was one advert where it was in the 80s and the bloke was a bit of a cross between Joey Boswell and Carlin out of fucking Scum. And it was a Sunday afternoon and he was washing up after the roast. And I don't know why it sticks in my head so much.
Roast dinner.
Yes, Sunday roast dinner. And his dad's asleep on the... He's like, every Sunday, same old story. Dad falls asleep. He's like a cockney as well. And there's this one bit where he taps the fairy... I don't know why this is in my head. It came in my head so vividly. I hadn't thought about it for 30 years. He taps the fairy liquid bottle on the cap and he goes, this is a very serious piece of kit. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Why is that so weird to me? Serious. Yeah. Like, imagine that. I've got it. Brainstorming. Okay, guys, let's just throw ideas out there. We're spitballing. There's no bad ideas when you're brainstorming. I'll just throw this out, fly this up the flagpole and see who salutes it. How about a slightly threatening, intimidating cockney fella taps it and says this is a serious piece of kit, and they're all like, bingo, that's the one. Let's run that one. What a weird concept.
You know, who's the Welsh comedian that, I can't think of his name, youngish guy, not Ellis James... Lloyd Langford.
Yep.
So, you know, he went to an ad writing, like they had a writer's room, basically. They got some comedians. I think they got him and maybe one or two others and a load of ad people in. And they had a product and they went, right, just like for a couple of hours, try and come up with a slogan, try and come up with something. And when they come back after like an hour or two, the ad guys have got like, yeah, so here's my idea. It's like, you know, Johnson's washing up liquid, cleans your plates, blah, blah, blah. And he went, oh, I've come up with like, and then just listed off a load of puns and jokes. And they were like, oh, how have you done that? And he's like, what do you mean? And they're like, well, why? You've got loads. And the other guys have just been really working on the minutiae. And he just like boshed out a load of them. So the next day, they literally got rid of everyone else from the writers' room and just had him there writing ad puns.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, that's what I'm saying. Think of some of the most famous and enduring advertising slogans. They're shit.
Yeah, but they land. Like
a Mars a day helps you work, rest and play. I mean, they've dropped it now, but it doesn't mean fuck all. How can it help you work, rest and play? That's not
no,
saying.
It doesn't help you rest. A Mars a day helps you rest.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't work on its
no,
own.
No, it doesn't.
Does
no,
it?
Speed. That's not saying speed helps you stay up all night and go to sleep. No, one or the other, mate. Everyone knows there's uppers and downers.
Yeah, why did they never. Like, with speed? It was weird because the advertising on that was few and far between.
It's one of those products that advertises itself. A lot of those drugs do, don't they? You don't see many
adverts. Never seen an advert for heroin.
No, you don't. But it's very Moorish. That's what they should say. Once you pop, you can't
Once
stop.
You pop. Yeah. You can't stop. Once you pop a needle in, you can't stop.
I mean, that is a fucking good product if you think about it. I mean, straight men will suck a dick to get some of that. That's how good it is as a product.
Yeah, it absolutely works. It does exactly what it says on the needle.
It does exactly what it says on Grange Hill.
Yeah. People love it, don't they? I've never heard a bad review about heroin.
No. The only time I think... The only time I've heard people moan about it is when they can't get it and never had to come off it.
Yeah, and then they die.
That's like moaning about a holiday. So you can't even say that's a negative about heroin, can you? If you went on a holiday and I said, you said, Justin, Timothy Panks, I went on the most amazing holiday ever, best 14 days of my life. I didn't want to leave. I almost cried when I had to come home. So when people say, the cold turkey's the worst feeling in the world, that's actually an endorsement.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because of the normality being worse than the brilliant time you're having on heroin.
See, I should be an ad man. I can spin this shit.
I don't think people should take heroin. All I'm saying is that when people are taking heroin, they're all having a great time.
They don't. The good thing about it is you don't. They don't look like they are. Have you ever seen someone on heroin?
Yeah, I have.
They look like they're dead, and they've got like dribbling, and they sort of like shake a little bit sometimes.
And you say, "How was that?" And they go, "Bloody great."
And you go, "Oh my god, that looks horrible." And then they wake up and go, sort of come to, and they go, "Fuck, you know, when do we get some more of that? I need to do that again." I worked
with a guy who worked with heroin addicts, and he said that.
Does that mean you're a heroin addict then?
Yeah.
You worked with a guy who worked with heroin addicts.
Yeah. I don't want to go into it, but he said. He said that when you take heroin once, your body tells you it needs it like it does food and water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, that's why it's so different. Because you are going, I'm going to die if I don't have it.
Mm. Well, then, let's pretend we're the big slick ad agency, Pranks and Firth and Partners. And the big heroin companies have come in and said, we want to do like a... That was weird as well. You get those adverts that are just for generic things. Like, you'd get an advert for milk.
Yeah, do you remember? Who was paying?
Yeah,
milk.
The government, the I guess. Board. Or eggs. Remember there was a famous one, go to work on an egg?
Yeah.
And it was like, what? Just the fucking... Just eggs are being advertised.
But... Yeah, it is really strange. Also, yeah, so you've got eggs, milk. I want to say bread.
And I remember slamming the lamb.
Yeah, British beef. Yeah. There's that famous advert where the guy, it might be lamb, and it was spoken about on Cheap Show, but there's a guy, and he's like, all the family like lamb, and I do the carving. Dad, he has a thick piece. Mum loves a bit of juicy meat. And the boys, and it's really, it's like he's killed them all.
Who was fucking benefiting from advertising just eggs?
Eggs. Oh, eggs. He's right, you know. I need to go and get an egg.
Well, what's the... But I saw this thing right after an advert on telly last night for this egg. I might give him a go.
And also, go to work on an egg.
Yeah, like, that's not enough. You got to have 3 eggs at least.
And what are you doing with it? Like, when are you... I mean, I've never...
I go to work. Every time I've impregnated someone, I've gone to work on an egg, you could say.
I also think it's too much prep. If you're doing a day job and you've got to leave the house by, like, what time do people leave the house? 7?
I don't, but yeah.
Yeah. But people are going to, like, if you work in London and you live in Essex.
If you work in London and you live in Essex, yeah, you'd have to leave the house at 7. I don't fucking know.
So are they getting up and cooking an egg?
It takes about 30 seconds to fry an egg.
Yeah, but what are you doing? What, are you just popping that in your gob?
Yeah, I'll eat 3 fried eggs for breakfast, and that's it.
Yeah, but you're famously a Rambo.
Yeah, no, I just Rocky. I crack them into a glass. But so no,
actually, I hadn't thought about the. I wasn't saying Rambo Rocky wrong there. I was doing like I eat 3 fried eggs for breakfast. I wasn't thinking of. I've made myself look a fool accidentally.
I've contributed to that. Don't downplay my role in that.
Yeah, you know, like that expression of "I eat green berets for breakfast." Oh, what's that from?
Probably not Rambo, because he was a green beret. Oh no, did the copper say that?
Don't know.
I don't know either.
And what does he mean by that?
That's the famous line from Happy Gilmore. It's funny, isn't it? When he says,
"I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast."
Ooh, you eat pieces of shit for breakfast.
That is a brilliant line. A brilliant line. And I like that line so much because they are laughing as they say it.
Yeah.
Like, that is the best take they can make because it's such a funny line. Or it's ad-libbed, I don't know which. But it's excellent.
Anyway, stop procrastinating. We've got to come up with a slogan for heroin.
Love Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, it's a good film. So we've got to come up with a slogan for heroin. So I remember heroin. The AA saying we're the fourth
first...
and we're the... Go on.
I'm thinking about prick being in there.
One prick.
And then a kick.
I always heard the first prick makes you sick, but that's not a good slogan. But then you can't, you don't, you often vomit.
What does that mean?
First time you have heroin, I think you can vomit. I've got that from watching Sid and Nancy. Oh. When Nancy Spungen introduces Sid Vicious to heroin, he throws up. She's like, I was okay, you always throw up the first time.
Yeah. Oh, was he? Did he enjoy it, though, or was he just sick?
I think I've heard that even vomiting feels like amazing. Like, even like when you're throwing up, it feels like a full body orgasm. Like, you're just a. You're the vomit is just a dong atom in the dong of a giant space dick that's. Then you're just spunking up, your whole body is.
Speaking of that, the pain stickers have been ordered, listener.
What do you think of that artwork then?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Once they arrive, again, we'll think of some way of them being distributed to the Patreon fans. But it is a PAME sticker. It looks great, Justin. And I love the honky. What's the shonkiness of it? Is
it's on brand, really, as I said, it's on brand. If it was really good and slick, there'd have nothing to do with us. This isn't slick.
I love it. And what about, we can't go on without, we'll come back to the heroin advertising agency in a minute. What about the Pranks and Firth Snob or Scum playing cards from Yanis Bremmer?
Got to say, phenomenal job, right?
Yeah, for all we've said about him bumming animals all the time.
And what the genius is they're playing cards. So you could play Snob or Scum, and so that's two games in one. And you could play Snob or Scum poker. So you could say, like, right, you don't know what the card is, and someone's reading them out. And if you get snob, I don't know, like, if you've got snob, you get that card, and you can make the best hand, but you don't. Or you could just play cards, or you could just play snob or scum.
And if you don't know, if you haven't seen them, go on our YouTube channel, Pranks and Firth, and you can look. I did a little review of them last night. And we've really got to think. I think there were six packs. Obviously, you want a pack. I want a pack. So there's four packs for us to give away of these cards.
They're in here. I'm going to pass them on to my grandchildren.
But I think we need to have a think about what we're going to do to give those cards away. I know I'm putting you on the spot there to think of something, but...
You've got to come up with a slogan for heroin, because I can't think of one. Do you ever, like, just bite off more than you can chew?
What, of heroin?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great slogan.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, lose weight, lose your job, lose your friends, but you lose weight.
Lose your teeth.
Lose
your inhibitions.
Lose your inhibitions. No, I don't know. Smack. Smack.
I'd love to be in a writer's room with you. Right, Justin, you look like you've got something. Smack.
Smack, crackle and pop. Smack.
Smack, crackle and pop.
Smack, hackle, hack, smack. What's hackle? What did witch do? Cackle. Smack, cackle.
And plop. Because they often shit themselves.
No, you plop. I think, right, so this is my idea. There's a man face down on a stained mattress in the underpass at King's Cross. Two pigeons are fucking on the back of his head. And he's just smiling. Just grinning. And then it zooms into his face, and as it gets close, you hear like Hawaiian slide guitar music, and you hear the sound of a beach, and it says, smack, the internal holiday the world can't spoil.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if you could have some sort of virtual reality where it was plumbed into your brain, and you could just not be dealing with COVID or... you know, anything else that's upsetting, then...
Yeah, that's the most upsetting thing at the moment, Ash.
The people are locked down. No, yeah. Well, the other stuff isn't upset. This is a time for joy with the revolution that's happening. Surely.
Yeah, I suppose.
Anyway, but anything, you know, people are down and sad. They've been trapped at home if you could just go, right, for 2 weeks, you're logging into this brain internet and you can go anywhere.
Yeah, like a virtual reality.
You'd pop in there, wouldn't you? I'd pop in for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, if I said to you, right, you could... Yeah, exactly. So you, if I said to you, right, there's a new thing, right? It's like a, you put your hat, you put some electrodes on your arms and on your temple and on your chest, and it completely recreates the ecstasy orgasmic experience of taking heroin, but without the actual chemical entering your body. So it's not addictive, it's not harmful, but you get the full...
I think that is a thing, because you know that story about the rats pressing the pleasure button,
yeah,
rather than eating food. So that must be a thing they could do. They must be able to tap into whatever it is, pleasure node.
So what I'm saying is that if you could hook yourself up to a machine and it was completely harmless and just recreational, like I say, there's no adverse, but then again, would it be, because you just want to keep going on the machine all the time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to the rats.
So if I said to you, you can experience what is... I was just thinking this the other day, they're weird, the sort of things that human beings want to feel. Like a really sad film. Like people who want to watch that and cry. Or want to watch a film that terrifies them, watch horror. The scary... But if you could have a machine that made you feel... Well, we frown upon people that want to feel ecstasy. That's like inject heroin. But it's like, that's not as weird as someone that wants to watch a really sad film and get morose and start crying, is it?
Watch a film about people being murdered.
Yeah, that's like, you want to get freaked out and scared. Like, want to watch Hostel. Like, they're the sickos, really. We should all be taking smack.
The government should really work on making a heroin that doesn't kill you.
They have. I think actual heroin's not harmful, is that right?
I don't know.
I have heard that it doesn't kill... It doesn't... It's not toxic.
Well, is it what it's cut with?
Yeah, well, it's illegal. But I think that it's addictive, so it's obviously a bad in that respect. But then so's nicotine. And this is the thing. This is the thing. Now they've got all this lockdown, you just realise... That's made me start thinking about the smoking ban again. I don't know why. Well,
You'd love to smoke indoors. You'd love to start smoking and smoke indoors.
Okay, so they've said you can't go out because there's a deadly virus and it kills people. It doesn't kill as many people as smoking, and they banned smoking in public places, but didn't ban cigarettes. It makes no sense.
I know.
Wouldn't it
I
be
totally
easier
agree.
To just say you can't buy cigarettes? That's it. For your own good.
Yeah, rather than just going round the houses, and we're going to make it more expensive with tax, and we're going to take away all your advertising, just ban it if you want.
Well, not if you want, but if you think it's... we're banned from congregating because for our own good, but they won't ban smoking, which is the jury's in. There's more evidence that smoking's bad for you than this COVID was as contagious and as lethal as they said. But they don't. They didn't ban it.
They just made it...
So it just shows, doesn't it? It's bullshit. It's all bullshit.
Where does it stop? Because, like people would always say, more people die from having three beers. More people die from drinking than smoking.
Well, yeah, and the reason I suppose I was saying that was heroin was not... It was illegal at Victoria, like in Sherlock Holmes. He was all over it, wasn't he?
Yeah, loved it.
Yeah, but I don't think it was... It wasn't as dangerous as smoking. They banned the wrong thing. Because I think... Back then,
they would smoke heroin, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but I mean, tobacco, nicotine, tar, do you know what I mean? All those carcinogens. I think that actually is... I think that heroin...
Who is it that makes the... I know there has to be rules and stuff, otherwise you'd lose society to a certain extent.
But this is my point, Ash. Sorry to interrupt you. This is exactly...
They introduced tobacco.
This is exactly the thing, Ash. Either if we accept this lockdown is for our own good and the nanny state does things for our health, they must... To be consistent, ban, for example, smoking. It shouldn't be... How can it be your individual choice to smoke and not your individual choice to go out and risk getting a virus? When one thing is definitely fatal, when one thing you could get it once, if you're young and healthy, you get a cold, you get bad flu for a week, and then it's done. How can it be that you can choose to smoke, but you can't choose to go out and risk getting a virus?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. So everything's all right. This is the thing about freedom. Either you have freedom of speech, for example. Either you can
there is no freedom. It's so obvious we don't really... Freedom is an illusion.
It is.
Because all you have to do is for them to say, right, you're not allowed out anymore. And we all had to stay in.
It's like saying, it's like animal
farm. That's
how
much control they have.
Yeah, but exactly. But they took away my choice. They've took away my choice as a healthy... Well, I don't know about that. But I fancy my... I fancy my chances, if you know what I mean. Like, if someone said to me, I'll give you 500 quid and I could, someone with definite COVID-19 is going to sneeze in your face, I'd take it. Because I think I need the money and I reckon I'd be all right.
Patreon.com/pranksandfurf.
I reckon I'd feel rough for 10 days. I don't think I'd have to end up hospitalised. I might be wrong, but that's my choice. I think I would have survive it. But I'm not allowed out. But very few people survive smoking. It's one of the hardest things to give up. But that's legal. I don't understand it. And like I say, it's like Animal Farm, where he says like all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others, where power corrupts and the pigs take over. And it's almost like we are free to do what we want, but some things we are and some things we aren't. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, all right, I hadn't thought it through.
I think it has highlighted to me how easy it is for the shackles to be put on and us to be completely unable to do
it. But if it's genuinely false,
imagine if it was like a Gestapo type thing or like a Russian or China dictatorship where, like, basically what happened, if you were in the park during this, they'd have moved you on. They'd said, you can't be here. But imagine if you're in China and the alternative is you get beaten and shot.
And also, you can't say, you can't, us fucking mental. It's just such a strange time where nothing's consistent, nothing's, and you have to, the landscape of knowing what's okay and not is so weird, because of course I support the protest, but people that were calling anyone that went outside murderers 2 weeks ago, and now the NHS went out and were applauding the protesters.
Oh, you know what's worse than that? You know what's worse than that now? People who are saying what you're saying. And I'm not putting you in that.
No, game. I know. What I'm saying
media,
is...
People going, hang on a minute.
That's what I'm saying, Ash. Okay, exactly that. But this is my point. So 2 weeks ago, people that went out were arseholes. Now people are going out protesting the heroes. And also people that say that are like, that's frowned upon. And like, oh, you're just one of those people saying that. But how do you know which is... Because if you actually take politics and if you take personal thoughts and personal sort of like... proclivities out of it and just look at it all and speak the truth, that's, you're not allowed to do that either. But you have to know what's okay and not okay, and it's not based on merit or common sense anymore. It's like a religious doctrine. Where do you get the fucking script that tells you what's what?
We keep having this conversation because I have this real fear of being like, I hear people saying things and then going, and then it's like, no, you can't say that, you shouldn't say that, you mustn't believe that. And then I think, but surely they can. Like, they're allowed to be wrong
in your eyes. Exactly. And the thing is, you can't, as a government, right, as a general consensus, people who smoke cigarettes and would go on social media, there must be people that did both, and went on and said, anyone who goes out as an idiot, you're putting a strain on the NHS, stay in, save lives, and they also smoke. One of those viewpoints has to be wrong. They're not. Yes. They can't. They are mutually exclusive.
But then, again... you can pass it down the line. Some would say I'm a little bit overweight. I know. But so I am also doing that. Like everyone that's obese is putting pressure on the NHS as well.
Yeah, we all. Anyone who goes fucking abseiling or something is as well. Because
yeah.
So what is it like? The NHS is not. It's this thing, and it's so underfunded. We're not allowed to use it. It's there to be used.
Yeah, it does.
So that's funded, the thing, isn't it? It all comes down to money. Smokers probably put more tax money into the NHS. But it's global. This is the weird thing. We say that, but America, they're on lockdown. They've got private healthcare, insurance.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah. I mean, some of us have that as well, though.
Yeah, well, some of us have...
Some of us have girlfriends that can afford for us to have that as well.
Well, that's nice. But man of the people there. I don't know. I'm very.
Some of us could go to a private dentist because their girlfriend's more successful in her work than he is.
Some of us sleep in a car. What's your point?
Oh, is it your car?
For now. Still making the loan. It's a loan. It's not a lease. I've got a loan and I'm making my loan payments. And I might just about still have that shit. Fuck.
I might have slept in that car. Think about that time you drove to Shropshire or whatever. I wonder if I nodded off.
That's a different car, mate. That one died. I actually nodded off in that while I was driving it and writ it off. I've got a history of sleeping in cars. One night I was doing 65 in a 40 and fell asleep, but it was 4 in the morning and a country back road, and I nearly died. And now I sleep in it for fun. New car.
Yeah, you sleep in it for the shits and giggles. Shit. And you still shitting in a bag, yeah?
Well, was that on that? See, now that was on the video. That story.
Yeah, I put out a little teaser of that.
Amazing.
So,
Ash told me the most amazing shitting. Not a shit. The story wasn't shit. It was a story about shitting. It was so amazing.
If you want to hear it, you've got to be a $5 patron. I mean, that's about £3. You might as well. During these times, you might as well go and sign up. There are hours of video podcasts, extra podcasts. You might as
it's
well
worth £3
go
for that
involved.
Story, mate. I'd never heard it before. Loved it.
I can't believe I haven't told you that before.
No, you haven't.
See, this is the thing. I wonder how many other stories I've got. Every so often, I think about an old story and I go, yeah, that could be a bit stand-up. And I haven't thought about it as stand-up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm writing a bit.
I've never made anything funny out of my boy blowing up the house.
I'm writing a bit about the fairy advert. That's why it's on my mind.
Now, hands that do dishes can feel as soft as your face. What's that mean?
But do you remember? There's that old joke about that, isn't there? One of those long, protracted jokes. You know that one?
No.
Guy goes into a fish restaurant.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, furry lip squid. Yeah. That one? Yeah. Terrible. That's like the Norm Macdonald one about the frog.
The Norm Macdonald one about the moth?
Yeah, but there's the one that's like a long, protracted pun about the frog goes into a bank.
Yeah.
Know that one?
Yes, but tell me it.
Frog goes into a bank and the it's really bad. The bank teller's name is Patricia Whack. Yeah?
It's a knick-knack.
Yeah, then he goes, anyway, he goes, I want to borrow some money. She goes, well, what have you got as a collateral? He goes, I ain't got any finished collateral, but my dad's Mick Jagger, so he's got loads of money. And she goes, you can't get a loan because your dad's Mick Jagger. And he goes, well, okay, how about if I put this as in collateral? And he's got a little trinket. And she looks at it, she goes, I don't know what that is. She goes, well, go ask the manager. She goes out the back and she says to the bank manager, I've got a green amphibian out here, and he wants to... He wants to borrow some money and he's putting this up as collateral, but I don't know what it is. And the bank manager looks out the window and sees him and he goes, why? That's a knick-knack, Pattywhack. Give the frog a loan. His old man's a rolling stone. So bad.
I mean, it's so not Norm's, but...
No, I know. But it's just one of those jokes.
God, I love Norm.
Yeah, we both love Norm. But there's that don't kill furry lip squid is the same.
Will I see Norm live?
If he ever comes to his shores, I'm going to buy you a ticket and take you as a present. We're going to go.
I mean, you can't afford that.
No, I know. I'll tell you what, we'll go. I'll drive you down there and put you up for the night. Back seat. Yep. Yeah. And
I'll sleep in the boat.
You're going on a diet? It's only a Volvo estate, mate. I don't think you'll get in there. No, it's
I'm
not
starting
a bother.
Taking heroin, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, lose weight. Yes, that's a good one. Slim fast. Slim faster, I'd call it.
Oh, lovely. There's your branding.
Yeah.
Just a little sample amount. That's all you need.
Move slower, slim faster. Die quicker.
And now, you get what's it called? Like Box Fresh or whatever it's called, where you get food delivered. You can just get a little bit of heroin.
What's that?
Like every
flat
day.
Pack meals, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why don't you get a takeaway?
Oh, I do.
I know you do. Gluten-free vegan chips. I don't know.
I had chips on Friday, I think.
I'm falling asleep, man. This lockdown is starting to really... The lack of fresh air is starting to really get to me.
Yeah.
My windows won't go down. I think the fuse is gone.
Listener, thank you very much for your continued support. If you do want the extra, do go to Patreon. And we still want your moon theories. I mean, we've had about 4. Now, the stickers will be here. Everyone that gives us a moon theory will get now a
good
certificate
stickers.
And a sticker.
It's a good sticker.
So get on Patreon, subscribe on Patreon, and give us a moon theory on there. And I will send you a certificate and a sticker. And if you've got any ideas of... I think it should be a snob or scum based game, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
To win the cards.
Oh, that's a good idea. Packs. Yeah, come up with the game. Come up with the rules. We've got the premise of the game. which was
maybe
ours.
Maybe come up with Snob or Scums. Maybe
so this is a collaborative effort. We come up with a premise of the game, Snob versus Scum, and it's a linguistic game. Then Yanis and the Lollygagger have come up with the hardware. Now we need people to come up with the rules of the cards. Yeah. So let's explain again. It's a normal deck of playing cards, but in the middle, you know, instead of having the big, the sort of like numbers and the suits and whatever, it's got a Snob or Scum. Like, and it says something like we said before, the room at the top of your house where you keep your junk, Snob, Attic, Scum, Loft.
Yeah.
Yep. So think of a game for that.
Think of a game for that. The person who comes up with the best game will win a pack. And I also think we need to get some more Snob or Scums coming in. It's a feature we haven't done for a few months. So get them coming in. And the best Snob or Scum that we get, you'll also
kill.
You will kill them, yeah. But yeah, if you want some extra content, get over there. If you don't want extra content, continue listening here.
Why? I think I've got coronavirus. I feel really ill.
That's fair enough, mate.
I've hit a wall, mate. I feel like I've got my eyes closed again.
Oh, no.
I feel poorly.
Well, maybe this will be the last ever podcast we do.
And what a way to go out. We've recorded in a file I don't know if I can send to you. I'm sure I can work it out.
Yeah, export. We don't need to do this on here.
Okay.
Thank you, listener. Thanks, Justin.
Bye.
I'll speak to you soon.
Bye.